Thank you so much, Quartet, for that wonderful message. Bow the knee. Trust in Him. Well, it's a little different Sunday for me. Usually I'm over in Children's Church at this time. And really, preaching in Children's Church and preaching here is not that much different. I just need to talk a little slower. My words can't be as large over here as they are over there. And it's a joy to be standing here this morning, and I honestly say I don't take this lightly. It's a great privilege to be able to open God's Word and preach God's Word. And as Pastor Lane often says, you know, God's Word has spoken to me, and God's Word has touched my heart, and so I hope that God's Word will touch your heart as well this morning. Brett and I were giving Phil a little hard time. We're telling him that since Pastor was gone this Sunday, we're going to make this Children's Church Sunday. And all the songs are going to be Children's Church songs with motions. And Phil didn't know what to do. He thought we were serious. And so he was a little nervous for a while, but we assured him we were just kidding. So, well, this morning I'd like to look at the question, what does it mean to follow the Lord? You know, we sing about following the Lord. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. We talk about following the Lord, but what does it really mean to follow the Lord? In the life of Josiah, we find a powerful example of someone who followed the Lord. And we also find a very clear definition of what it means to follow the Lord. The story of Josiah is a testimony to the impact that someone who decides, who chooses to follow the Lord can have. There's great power. There's a great impact in that testimony. At first, Josiah was influenced by others. He was only 8 years old when he came to the throne. He was influenced by godly men like Hilkiah the priest and Shaphan the scribe, Ahikam and Akbar. And these men had a true desire to follow the Lord and to do what was right. And one of the truths that really jump out as we look at the life of Josiah is that if you are going to follow the Lord, it's best to walk with others who are following the Lord. We cannot underestimate the impact of those that we are around. They have great impact in our lives. In fact, the influence of others on our lives can mean the difference in our choice to follow God or not to follow Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, the Bible tells us, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." And that's very true. Later on in his life, Josiah influenced many in Judah and in Israel. And before we go any further in looking at his life, I'd like to take just a brief glimpse at his heritage, because Josiah had a fascinating heritage. And if you'll take your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter 18. In 2 Kings chapter 18, we're introduced to Josiah's great-grandfather, a man that you've heard of before, a king by the name of Hezekiah. And in verses 1 through 3, we read this about Hezekiah. "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places. He broke down the images. He cut down the groves. He broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. And he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him, for he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth." And here we see Josiah's great-grandfather the great king Hezekiah, a man who brought great reform to the land of Judah. He did away with idolatry. He clave to the Lord. He loved the Lord, and he obeyed the Lord. And then we see his son, Manasseh, Josiah's grandfather, in 2 Kings chapter 21. Verses 1 and 2, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. And he reared up altars for Baal. If you look down at verses 8 and 9, this is God speaking to his people. And God says, neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers. Only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they hearken not. And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. That's quite a statement. That the king of Judah led God's people to do greater evil than the heathen that were driven out of the land. And you know, a great truth really comes to light here. And this is so important for our young people. It doesn't matter if you grow up in a Christian home where your parents love the Lord and serve the Lord. That does not mean that you are a Christian. And that does not mean that you are assured or reserved a place in heaven. You must choose to serve the Lord yourself. You must choose the Lord for yourself. And after working with young people and children for so many years, it seems like there are a lot of young people who come through our church just resting on the fact that they grew up in a Christian home and they came to church every Sunday and they brought their Bible to church. That's good, but that's not enough. You have to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior for yourself. Well, Manasseh was a wicked, wicked man. And Manasseh rebelled against everything his father Hezekiah had stood for. He rebelled against his father's God. Everything that Hezekiah was for, Manasseh was against. And everything that Hezekiah was against, Manasseh was for. Complete and total rebellion. And tradition tells us that Manasseh took one of his father's counselors, a prophet by the name of Isaiah, who had a great impact on Hezekiah. And he took the prophet Isaiah and he placed him inside a hollowed out log and had the prophet Isaiah sawn in two. A man who was in complete rebellion against his upbringing, his father, and his father's God. And you would think if anybody deserves judgment, if anybody deserves God to pour out his wrath upon him, it was Manasseh. And God did pour out his wrath. And God did send his judgment. Manasseh was taken away from Judah in chains and imprisoned. But it's amazing, and you can read about this. We won't go there, but you can read about this part of Manasseh's life in 2 Chronicles chapter 33. It would be interesting for you to go back and take a look at sometime. But while Manasseh was imprisoned, he turned his eyes to the Lord and he confessed his sin and he repented. And God restored him as the king of Judah, a man who had lived so wickedly. And you know what? That is such an encouragement to me. Because that tells me that there is no one who is too wicked that God will not forgive. And there is no one who strays so far away from God that God will not restore them. And that gives encouragement to me. That gives hope to me. And it gives hope to you as well. This man, Manasseh. Well, Manasseh's son and Josiah's father was a man named Ammon. We read about Ammon in 2 Kings chapter 21, verses 19 through 21. Ammon was 22 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. Skip down to verse 20. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. And he walked in all the way that his father walked in and served the idols that his father served and worshiped them. You know, it's so sad that in the last part of his life, Manasseh repented and turned back to the Lord, but the damage was already done. And his son had already been turned against the Lord. And the people of Israel never came back to worship God as they had done under Hezekiah because of Manasseh's influence and because of his leadership. And you know what? Again, the influence of others on our lives is so important. And we cannot underestimate the influence that we have in the lives of others. It's so important as parents, as dads, that we give a good example to our children, an example that they can see that we love the Lord and follow the Lord and desire to serve the Lord. But let's continue on in verse 22. And he forsook the Lord God of his fathers and walked not in the way of the Lord. And the servants of Ammon conspired against him and slew the king in his own house. Josiah's father, Ammon, was so wicked that he only reigned for 2 years in Jerusalem. And after 2 years, his servants conspired against him and they murdered him in his own palace. And now we come to this young man by the name of Josiah in chapter 22 of 2 Kings. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he walked in all the way of David his father. And he turned not aside to the right hand or to the left hand. And again, I'm encouraged. Because you might grow up in a home where the Lord is not honored. And you might grow up in a home where your parents don't even know the Lord. But you don't have to go down that path. You can choose to follow God. And you can choose to do what's right. And that's what Josiah did. And if you'll turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. This is a parallel passage. Brett read from these verses this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Let's notice a few things about this young man, Josiah. Look at verses 1 through 3. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of David his father. He declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, the groves and the carved images and the molten images. They break down the altars of Balaam in his presence and the images that were on the high above them. He cut down the groves and the carved images and the molten images. He break in pieces and made dust of them and strewed it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. Jump down to, verse 8. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, Messiah, the governor of the city, Joah, the son of Jehoahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. Josiah became king of Judah at 8 years of age. In the 8th year of his reign, when he was 16 years old, he began to seek after the Lord. And that was a turning point in Josiah's life. Because, you know, Josiah knew about Jehovah and he knew about God. But it was that point in his life when he decided he wanted to know God. And I want you to understand, we can never follow God until, first of all, we know him. Not just know about him. Not just know that there's a God up there in heaven who has made everything, it's controlling everything. Not just, you know, knowing about the scriptures and knowing about the God of the Bible, but knowing him in a personal relationship. Has there ever been a point, a time in your life when you sought the God of the Bible and you came to him as a sinner looking for repentance and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? You received him as your personal Savior. You sought him and you found him and he became your Savior. Has that ever happened in your life? this was a turning point in Josiah's life when he sought the Lord, and Josiah found the Lord. And Josiah began to follow the Lord. During the 12th year of his reign, when he was 20 years old, he began to purge the land of idolatry. And during the 18th year of his reign, 26 years old, he began to make repairs on the temple. The temple had fallen into disrepair. The people had not been worshiping God. And so Josiah said, it's time that we fix up God's house. And it was during those repairs that Hilkiah, the high priest, found a copy of the law, a copy of the Pentateuch. And some scholars believe that it was the very copy that Moses himself had written. We don't know for sure. But he found hidden in the temple so that it would not be destroyed, it would not be lost, a copy of the law. And Hilkiah gave it to Shaphan the scribe, and Shaphan read the law. And he said, the king needs to hear this. And he took the law to Josiah, and he read the law to Josiah. And when Josiah heard the law of God, he tore his clothes. That's significant. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 18 and 19. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. Now, why did he do that? He tore his clothes. He rent his clothes as a sign of grief and sorrow, because he realized that he had not been keeping the law of God. Here's a young man who had a heart for God. Here's a young man who had sought the Lord, but he had not been following, he had not been obeying the law of God. He didn't harden his heart, or in stubbornness or pride, refuse to listen, as his father and his grandfather had done. But look at 2 Chronicles 34, verses 26 and 27. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardst his words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, didst rend thy clothes, and weep before me, I heard thee also, saith the Lord. Josiah admitted that he and the people and their fathers had not been obeying God's word. And he repented. You know, when you hear God's word, and God's word brings conviction, repentance must follow. Because if repentance doesn't follow, the heart becomes hard and the heart becomes calloused. And Josiah was a man who was humble, and he had a tender heart before the Lord. And when he heard God's word, he responded in repentance. To repent means to make things right. It means to turn around and go in the opposite direction. If you're going the wrong way, you turn around and you go the right way. And that's exactly what Josiah did. They had not been obeying God's word, so Josiah repented and he promised to follow the Lord. For Josiah, and I think you'll hear this repeated often in the remainder of this sermon this morning, for Josiah, following the Lord meant obeying his word. To follow the Lord means to obey his word. Now we're through the introduction. Let's get into the meat of this sermon. First, I want you to see Josiah's proclamation. And if you'll turn back to 2 Kings, we'll spend the remainder of our time in 2 Kings. Chapter 23. And this is a parallel passage to what Brett read for us this morning in the scripture reading. We'll really read the first three verses of 2 Kings chapter 23. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him. the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord. What does that mean? To keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book, and all the people stood in the covenant. First of all, we see Josiah's proclamation. Josiah gathered all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the elders, the priests, the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And that word small can refer to diminutive people, little children, small in stature. Or it can refer to unimportant people, people who were not that important. The idea is that everyone came to the temple that day. The important, the unimportant. The children, the parents. The little ones, the adults, and their leaders. And they stood at the house of the Lord. And Josiah didn't proclaim his thoughts and his opinions. He simply read to them the law of God. In this meeting at the house of the Lord, Josiah placed a priority on reading and understanding God's word. And I wonder if that's a priority in your life, reading and understanding God's word. We'll never follow the Lord unless reading and understanding his word is a priority in our lives. And it's not a priority if the only time you hear God's word is when you come and sit in these seats and listen to the message on Sunday morning. Is the word of God a priority in your life every single day? Do you take time to listen to God's word and understand his word? We see Josiah's promise in verse 3. The king stood by a pillar and made a covenant, a promise before the Lord, to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart, with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. After Josiah read God's law before all the people and they understood what it said, he made a public commitment, a public promise to obey completely everything that the Lord had commanded. Not just the parts that he agreed with, not just the parts that really stood out as important, but every part of God's law. And he was very distinctive because he used three terms so that we knew, the people knew, that he was making a promise to obey all of God's law. The first term was the commandments of the Lord, the Lord's commandments. The Hebrew word is mitzvah, and it refers to God's orders, his directions. The Lord gives his people clear instruction about which way to go and which way not to go. And in Proverbs 6:23, we read, "For the commandment is a lamp." And God's commandment is a lamp. It's a light that shows us where to walk and where not to walk. An example would be Colossians 3:9, "Lie not one to another." It's one of God's commandments. Don't be a liar. Do not tell lies. Josiah talked about the Lord's statutes. The Hebrew word is chukah, and I'm glad I can say that when Mary's not here, because she would probably be able to correct my Hebrew pronunciation. But you don't know any difference, so I can say anything and you say, "Oh yeah, that's good." Refers to a fixed pattern or boundary line that is cut or set in place. Within God's boundary lines, there is true freedom. And within God's boundary lines, there is true joy. And within God's boundary lines, there is true living and true life. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 11 says, "And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live by them." You want to experience life? It's not running from God. It's not disobeying God. It's walking in the boundaries that God has laid down in his word. An example the Lord's statutes would be 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not evil. And having money is not evil. But when you cross that boundary and money becomes your idol, money becomes your passion, money becomes your love, then you're in a whole world of trouble because you've crossed outside of God's boundaries. Josiah talked about the Lord's testimonies. The Hebrew word is eduth, and it refers to God's witness about something, his perfect viewpoint, how God sees things. We don't always see things eye to eye with God, do we? We don't always agree with the way God sees things, but we're the ones who are at fault. It's not God. When we think like God thinks, we become truly wise. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. God's testimonies are sure. They're a rock. They're a foundation that we can build our lives upon. They will not mislead any man, but they will infallibly bring him to a proper understanding of things. What a blessing that in this world of uncertainties, we have something sure that we can rest upon. The testimony, the statutes, the commandments of God. We don't know what they're doing up in Washington. And we don't know what bill they're going to bring out next, and we don't even know what's going to be in that bill. They don't either. But we have a sure foundation that we can rest upon in this life. It's the Word of God. An example of God's viewpoint versus our viewpoint. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Of course. You love people who are nice to you. You hate people who are mean to you. Of course. Little children know that principle. But that's not God's viewpoint. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. God's viewpoint is far different from ours, but his viewpoint is the right viewpoint. And as we follow his viewpoint, we become wise and begin to think like God thinks. I thought it was very interesting, and the portion that Brett read this morning, this little detail was left out. But when Josiah made his promise, his covenant, verse 3 says that the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord. And that just sparked my curiosity. What pillar? And why even include that detail in the scripture when it's not included in the other portion? What's the big deal about this pillar? And so I did a little study, a little research to find out exactly what this pillar was. This was one of two pillars that stood at the entrance to the temple. And you can read about those in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. There were two pillars. They were 27 feet high and 18 feet around. They had capitals on top of them, which added another 7.5 feet. So altogether, these two pillars were 34.5 feet tall. One on either side of the entrance to the temple, to the house of the Lord. They even had names. They were named Jachin. The one on the right was named Jachin, which means he shall establish. And the one on the left was named Boaz, which means in it is strength. Now, what was the point of these two pillars? Well, you know God never does anything without a reason. And so when he gave instruction to build these pillars at the entrance to the temple, they were to remind his people constantly of the strength and stability of his promises. They were a reminder of God's promises. Well, now when you think about it like that, it makes sense that Josiah would stand by a pillar that reminded him of God's promises to him and make his promise to God and say, God, I am going to obey your law in every aspect, in every way. I am going to follow you by obeying your word. And so every time Josiah came to the temple, he was saw those pillars, and he was reminded of God's promises, but he was always reminded of that promise, that covenant he had made to the Lord his God. You know, Pastor Lane encourages us very often to come forward and to pray and to speak to the Lord about what he's talked to us about. And there's a reason for that. Because this is our pillar. And when you come through those doors and you remember, I remember going forward and how the Lord dealt in my heart about this specific thing. It's a reminder of the promise that we've made to the Lord. This is our pillar. Now that doesn't mean you can't sit in your seat and make a decision for the Lord. That's fine. But this place should remind you that yes, God is a faithful God and his promises to us are firm and established. But I've made some promises to God here. And I intend to keep those promises. The pillar. Well, last of all, we see Josiah's passion. In verse 3, at the end of that verse, Josiah said, "And to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book, and all the people stood by the covenant." Josiah promised to keep and to perform God's word with all of his heart and with all of his soul. What does that mean? Obedience to God's word was his passion. You know, we're all passionate about something, aren't we? And we all have many passions. You might have a passion for your work. You might have a passion for your pastime. You might have a passion for sports. You might have a passion for your family. But really, when it comes down to it, we all have one great overriding passion in our lives. What is that passion for you? For Josiah, it was obeying God's word. And I see here a principle that's so important. When our promises are linked to our passion, there's great power there. There's great power. Have you ever made a commitment to God and you never followed through with it? We've all done that, haven't we? Have you ever been convicted about something and you went forward at camp or you came forward at church and you talked with the Lord about it and you thought it was dealt with and you know, a couple weeks later it's like you've forgotten all about that promise, that covenant you made to the Lord. What's the problem? The problem is our promise is not linked to our passion. Our passion should be to follow the Lord and obey his word. Really, when we boil everything down, there are only two passions in life. It's really a passion for yourself or a passion for God. That's really that's all there is. At the Wilds Christian Camp, they came up with a little phrase to emphasize that principle. There are only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God and pleasing self. That's it. What is your passion? Is your passion for self or is your passion for God and following God and obeying God's word? Josiah's passion was following and obeying his God. That was his passion. Josiah made a public commitment to obey God's word. It was linked to his passion. And as a result, did you notice what happened? All the people stood to the covenant. His covenant, his passion, affected those around him. And they said, we're going to follow God too. We're going to obey God as well. They were moved to make that same promise. Let me ask you, have you ever made a commitment to God to keep his word? Say, well, you know, Pastor Beck, I want to obey God. I want to follow his word. Have you ever told God, Lord, I promise to obey your word? You know, it's not easy and it's difficult for us. We have to deal with the flesh and the world and the devil. And the Lord understands that. And the Lord will give us the power to overcome our adversaries and to walk in obedience if that's our passion, if that's our desire. Like the song says that we sing in children's church sometime, have you ever decided to follow Jesus? Now you know what that means, don't you? Walking in obedience to his word. As a result of what Josiah read in God's law, Josiah recognized that there were some changes that had to be made. There were some things that had been neglected spiritually that needed to be reinstated. In 2 Kings chapter 23, we won't take time to look at those verses. Verses 21 through 23, Josiah said, wait a minute, we haven't been observing the Passover. That's something we need to be doing. We've been negligent spiritually. And so they reinstated, and they held a Passover that had not been seen in the land of Israel for a long, long time. Josiah recognized there were some things that needed to be put away, some things that needed to be done away with. And in 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 24, he put away all the idols, and he put away all the high places, and he put away all those things that had taken the people's love and devotion away from God and taken them in a different direction. Look at verse 25 of chapter 23, and we'll close with this verse. Referring to Josiah, and like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. There was no one who followed the Lord in obedience to God's word like King Josiah. What a testimony. What an example to us. For Josiah, following the Lord meant keeping God's commandments, keeping his statutes, keeping his testimony with all of his heart and with all of his soul, with a passion. It meant getting rid of anything contrary to God's word, anything displeasing to him. Following the Lord means obeying his word. We've been going through a series with the teenagers, and maybe some of you parents have heard about what we've been doing, a series called What's Wrong With, and we just take a different topic each week and talk about what's wrong with this and what's wrong with that, not because Pastor Beck says it's wrong, because what does the Bible say? What does the Scripture say? And I want our young people, and I think we need to understand that the Bible is not simply a textbook that we take to Bible class or that we bring to church and follow along the pastor as he reads the Scriptures, but the Bible is to be something in our lives that affects our lives on a daily basis, that we obey daily, that we follow daily, that we apply daily. Are you following the Lord? Are you committed to obeying God's word? I trust you are. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word. And Lord, we're so thankful for how your word leads us and directs us, how your word gives us wisdom. Lord, how your word answers the questions that we struggle with each and every day. And Lord, I want to thank you for Josiah's testimony. Here's a young man who made a commitment, who made a promise to follow the Lord, to obey your word in every aspect. And Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts, and I pray that we would be committed as Josiah was, Lord, to obey your word. May you be our passion. May following you, may obeying you be the passion of our hearts and the passion of our lives. And Lord, I thank you for each one of these good people here at Westside. Lord, make you our passion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.